Let's open with hymn number 398. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart, and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness.
Be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we most heartily thank thee that thou hast caused us to come to the knowledge of thy word. We pray thee graciously keep us steadfast in this knowledge unto death, that we may obtain eternal life. Send us now and ever pious pastors who faithfully preach thy word without offense or false doctrine, and grant them long life. Defend us from all false teaching, and frustrate thou the counsels of all such as pervert thy word, who come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves, that thy true church may evermore be established among us, and be defended and preserved from such false teachers through Jesus Christ, thy Son, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
Amen.
The Old Testament lesson for this eighth Sunday after Trinity is found in the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, the 16th through the 29th verse. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you will understand it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 20th chapter of Acts, the 27th through the 38th verse. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw the disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Here ends the epistle lesson. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Hallelujah. Lesson is found in the 7th chapter of Matthew, the 15th through the 23rd verse.
Glory to thee, O Lord.
Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Lord.
We now confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 526. 526. grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 7th chapter of Matthew, the 15th through the 23rd verse. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Here ends our text. You can be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our lesson today contains an admonition which is very familiar. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. These words that follow, and those that follow are often misapplied. And they're misapplied primarily by the very false prophets whom Jesus condemns. With the word beware, Jesus gave each of us a grave duty. It is part of being a Christian then. For a Christian is one who believes that God's word is truth. So long as there is still sin in the world and a devil, there will always be those who either sneak in and spread lies or who boldly step forward and teach contrary to the word of Christ. And the fruit of their false doctrine may be seen finally in those souls, those sheep, which are torn by the jaws of the wolf. Wherever Christians do not heed the word of Jesus and do not beware false prophets, it is certain that given time, they will succumb to them. What is so bad about false prophets? Can't we just ignore them? I mean, after all, they're not speaking the truth. No, we cannot ignore them. Hear how Paul describes false prophets. He says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves." If you think that you yourself need pay no heed to false prophets, then at least consider the weak among you, who will be deceived by your silence, and then they will fall prey all the more easily to the savage wolves. But also consider and remember these other words which Paul spoke to the Galatians. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. If you boast in your own faith and strength against the devil, do not be surprised when the devil soon has you in his jaws. Jesus' word is clear, and it is urged upon you and upon every Christian. Not because he wants to impose a burden or a new commandment on you, but because he loves you and he does not want you to fall prey to false prophets. The consequence of believing a false prophet is dreadful. You will lose Christ himself. You will lose his word and your faith and your salvation. And therefore he urges you to beware, because he loves you and he does not want you to fall away. But what should you be wary of? You must have a way to identify these false prophets. And indeed, Jesus says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Of course they don't. Even so, look to the fruit of the prophet to determine whether he speaks truly or whether he's a ravening wolf looking to devour the flock of Jesus. But it is at this point that many quickly go astray because they do not know what the fruit of the prophet actually is. Even though Jesus follows this admonition with a very clear warning about what is and what is not the fruit of a false prophet, too often men cast his words aside, and they invent their own signs or fruits. But what does Jesus say? He very clearly shows us what fruits are not. He identifies those things that men most commonly assume are accurate fruits to determine whether a prophet is false. And he tells you to throw these ideas away. First, the good fruits are not how many times they call upon the name of the Lord. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. In other words, just because someone uses the name of Jesus or calls himself a Christian does not make him a true prophet. He may quote from his Bible. He may talk about sin and virtue. He may speak of love and hope and faith. And yet, he may still bear wicked fruit. Simply using the name of Jesus and appearing to look like a Christian is not the same thing as doing the will of the Father in heaven. If it were, and that was how we are to judge whether a prophet's word is false, then we must count such cults as the Mormons as faithful Christians. For they too use the name of Jesus and speak of faith and hope and virtue. So then, if not their external appearance and how they use the name of God, it must be then the works that they do. Do they keep the commandments and love God and their neighbor? Surely those are the fruits of a true teacher. But wait, what is this next word which Jesus says? Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." How strange. Jesus explicitly points to the works of the prophet, the external aspects of his preaching, the casting out of devils, performing many wonderful works, yes, even miracles. And yet Jesus looks upon them and says, "I never knew you." These are some of the most terrifying words to be found in all of the Bible. "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. All that you said, all those works you performed, they are nothing and meaningless. They were not for me. I never knew you." How can this be? What about all the hungry that they've fed? The teenagers they've kept off drugs? The money that they raised for charitable causes? The sick whom they have cared for? Now, these are all wondrous things. Who would deny that these are not good, that these are good works? People indeed have been helped in their bodily need. These are things that Christians can and should do. By any standard which men are able to use, these are truly good works. Yet Jesus says these are not the fruits that he's looking for. He answers all those who hold these up as proofs of their own preaching, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." And with those words, Jesus tells us that we should not be deceived into accepting the works of a prophet as proof that he speaks for God. What then is left? Go back to the beginning and hear Jesus again. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." And now think about that. When do the sheep succumb to the wolf? Is it when the wolf comes among the flock speaking fine words and doing good works? Is it when he looks snowy white and he baas like the rest of them? No. It's when he eats them. It's when the sheep are dead. The fruit of the false prophet is not the many works which he performs before the sheep, because even then he leaves a trail of carcasses in his wake. How then are we to judge? Jesus tells us to beware of false prophets so that we do not fall prey to the wolf in sheep's clothing and join the dead which he leaves behind. When you look past the costume and his shiny white teeth and his soothing voice, or his novel manner of worship or preaching, or his successful life, or all of his testimonials, all you have left is the content of his preaching. What does the false prophet actually teach? He teaches falsehood, lies, and poison, and it is this that kills the sheep, that robs Christ from their hearts, that makes them comfortable sinners, or that makes them doubt the gospel of Jesus Christ and believe that they must be damned. It puffs them up so that they no longer count themselves among the poor, miserable sinners for whom Christ died, or it even causes them to doubt that Jesus even bled and died for them in the first place. This is the fruit of false prophets, and it is a poisonous fruit that kills those who hear it. This is truly what it means, if the phrase has any meaning at all, to slay someone in the spirit. Jesus uses the word beware. And literally, that word means have them before you. Now that seems to be contrary to reason. It says pay attention to them is literally a correct translation of the word beware. We might say watch them like a hawk. How very interesting. Too often people have misused the words of Jesus to make them say just the opposite. As if Christians are to pay no heed at all to false prophets. Quite the contrary. We are to pay very close attention to them. Because unless we weigh their words carefully, unless we see how they apply the word of God, we will have no way to judge their fruits, no way to judge whether they are a wolf, no way to warn the poor sheep whom they eat. But there's another consequence to this admonition of Jesus, one that we far too often completely forget when it comes to being attentive and watching for false prophets. And it's one that Paul brings out in our epistle lesson. And that is that these false prophets often do not come in pretending to be prophets at all. They do not stand up in front of the congregation and start preaching. Rather, they come in not like a false shepherd, but looking like a sheep. They sneak in, and they start spreading their false doctrine under the nose of the shepherd, wearing sheep's clothing, indistinguishable from the sheep until they start speaking. Often enough, they don't even have to sneak in, but they were already there to begin with. Paul says, also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Too often we do not recognize false prophesying because we forget that a false prophet does not have to appear to be a prophet at all. He can appear as the person spreading gossip and discontent. If a wolf were to growl among the sheep, he would quickly be exposed. And so he does not. He speaks carefully, sometimes spreading doubt here and there, casting suspicion, at first in subtle, eventually in bold ways, casting doubt upon God's word, and very often casting doubt upon God's true preachers. What should our response be when this happens? As it often has, and as it will continue to happen until Christ comes again. Jesus answers, be wary. Beware them. Pay attention to it. Do not tolerate such sneaky preaching in your congregation. If something is to be said, let it be said openly. If some teaching must be proclaimed, let it be proclaimed. Or as Jeremiah said, he that has my word, let him preach my word faithfully. If a prophet has a dream, let him tell a dream. True prophets of the Lord do not spread truth with a salt shaker. They spread it with a dump truck. That is why God calls them preachers, because to preach is to proclaim. Jesus never sends his prophets out to worm their way into the world, spreading bits of truth here and there. He sends them out to stand up and shout. Even when a pastor must go privately to a brother who's guilty of sin and needs to be called to repentance, he is only doing in private what he already proclaims in public. Repent of your sins and believe on Christ Jesus. But you might wonder, what if it is the pastor himself who is found to be the false teacher, the false prophet, the wolf in sheep's clothing? Even then, the rumors and gossip which Satan ever uses as his instruments of subversion have no place in the Church of Jesus. For false preachers are to be admonished and corrected, not with speculation and gossip and ruin and innuendo and secret meetings, but openly with the truth of God's word and doctrine. For you see how much Satan delights when Christians speak to one another in secret and plot and plan against their ministers or against any other brother or sister. He delights in this because they're doing his job for him, sowing the seeds of discontent and suspicion, one rumor growing into another until a faithful preacher of the Word of God is successfully demonized and thrown out of his office contrary to God's Word. This could not happen if the rumors and gossip are put away. If the pastor is seen to be in error, or perhaps it is only a suspicion, then when the matter is openly addressed, the light of God's Word itself will reveal the truth. And with that truth, Satan will be banished from the congregation of the righteous. Perhaps the matter is true, and the pastor must be removed. But perhaps also, as is often the case, the rumors and suspicion are shown to be what they are, lies and poison from wolves in sheep's clothing. Then the faithful prophets of the Lord will continue to preach, and the devil will be cast out. And so you see, the beware cuts both ways. Beware the false prophets who stand in the pulpit, but also beware the false prophets who sneak in among the congregation. Judge them by their fruits. What do they teach and how do they use God's word? Satan will lose this battle every time, for Satan can only succeed in destroying the sheep when the sheep themselves fail to expose his lies with God's word. This is a grave matter because we have so much to lose. What wonderful things our Lord Jesus has given to us. By his blood he has washed us from our sins, and by baptism we are made one family, joined together in the body of Jesus by partaking in his death and resurrection. Jesus and the Father and his Spirit now dwell within our hearts. Death has been banished. Heaven has been opened unto us, and an eternal inheritance has been assured by the work of Jesus Christ. All of this is ours in Jesus, and all of this we stand to lose if we believe the lies of false prophets. Therefore, let us ever heed the admonition of Jesus to beware, to watch and pray, and to bear one another's burdens, and so by the power of God's holy word to be kept unto eternal life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, who by thy Son didst create all things that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, giving him authority over all, we thank thee that through him we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we may truly know thee as our Father, call upon thee in prayer, and be assured that we will be heard as thy children. Grant unto thy church ministers and teachers who are counseled and led by thy Spirit, and who earnestly hold forth the word of life, diligently gather thy children, and teach them all things whatsoever our Lord has commanded. Save them from all false prophets, that they, being knit together in love, may stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, strive together for the faith of the gospel. Declare thy glory, O Father, among all nations, and send forth thy messengers to open the eyes of the unbelieving, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto Christ, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance with the children of God. Look with favor upon our own land, that true liberty, perfect justice, and pure morals may prevail in every estate of our society, and that all ungodliness and wicked works may be destroyed. Father, let thy Spirit descend upon our homes. Let the word of Christ in all wisdom dwell richly in the children, and grant that all parents may be worthy examples of true Christian virtue. Shelter them in every storm, and preserve them from all evil. And as thou, dear Father, didst send thy Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, preserve us blameless in the midst of a perverse world, so that we may attain the crown of life. To this end, grant that we may be filled with the knowledge of thy will, be fruitful in every good work, and be strengthened in the patience of faith. Help us to mortify the deeds of our flesh and to walk in the Spirit, ever setting our affection on the things above. O Father, from whom all good counsels and just works do proceed, give unto thy children who may be enduring pain, sickness, disease, anguish, or any other adversity of body or soul, a firm assurance of thy love and mercy, that they may commit themselves wholly into thy care, and receive from thee all things needful for their salvation. And now, Heavenly Father, as thou hast bidden us by thy word, to let our requests be made known with thanksgiving in prayer and supplication unto thee, we come to thee in gratitude and trust, offering these petitions in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. We sing hymn 293.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the
Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen. We sing hymn number 51. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.